I am unashamed. What about you?
Yeah, so the what does Missy call it? Just the ordeal has begun.
The ordeal.
Hunting season has started as of Saturday. We went opening day, which was Saturday. We killed about
25?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
25.
And then today.
That was more of a social event. I've learned that opening day, there's a lot of rust, and the ducks are localized. For people who don't duck hunt, they don't probably know what that means. But once ducks sit in a place for a while, they don't leave and come back there. They just live there.
Yeah.
So when you set up, they're all like, well, who are those? What's going on? Well,
basically, when you bust up in there at 5 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
they start saying, let's get out of here.
Well, they started getting up. When we pulled out there, they would get almost ran over a gadwall.
Yeah.
But at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So then when the shooting starts, you just can't work them in to the hole. And but we did pretty good.
It was scrappy.
Then yesterday for church was not a bad hunt, but it was frustrating. It was dead. It's been dead calm first 2 days. So motion became the number one thing.
Right.
Which caused me, we used to have a system that Jay invented. He had taken about 3 different pieces, one of them involving a big motor, and created a jerk-free decoy string,
right.
Type. This thing
moves.
Worked.
No human needed.
Yeah, you plug it up to a battery, and they don't sell them. He just made it.
Yeah.
So he couldn't find those motors after about 2 years of, I mean, I thought that thing was the most awesome thing. So last year we didn't have it, and we didn't do as well. So I offered him $100 last year.
Because describe to the audience, because if you're not a duck hunter, when you see a bunch of ducks on the water, which is what you're trying to portray with decoys, they're constantly moving, real ducks, right?
Moving. And when the wind's blowing, doesn't matter because the wind is blowing your decoys enough to where they think,
it gives it the
those
illusion.
Are real.
Right.
But when it's dead calm, which is what it was, basically all 3 days, then they get up. So Sunday was so frustrating because they would come down, big bunches, and get almost in and veer off. And we had Phil's dog, who the older he gets, the louder he gets. And so we concluded that we need motion on the decoys.
He's a whiner. He whines.
And on calm days, we need to leave that dog at the house. So
because you can hear him. The sound travels across the water.
It's like being married to a high-strung woman, and she's so high-strung that she's always fine. Like that. Well, this dog is...
Yeah, well, he was scaring the ducks. So what I did was, I said, I'll give a man, because they all know how to build this complicated contraption. It's way out of my ability. I've told this on the podcast. I'm good at destruction.
Yeah, it's not any your particular kind of, skill set.
To tear
build
it up.
Things. Yeah. That, yeah.
So I said, I'll buy the parts. If you, they don't make, you know, Godwin's been with us. He's back. They don't make them anymore.
Nope, they can't do it.
I said, well, I got $500 to the man who can build one.
You said 5 crisp $100 bills.
5 crisp.
I noticed they all got quiet when he was
Look,
saying that.
They didn't respond, so I thought. And then I went on a speech about $500 don't mean anything. I said, y'all are all fat and rich, I guess, because $500, I thought that would move the
needle.
They
used to motivate people.
Well, it did, because they were sitting there thinking, now where... And look, the next day, they had that thing. I said, I thought they didn't sell the motors anywhere. They're like, well, we found a bigger one.
Yeah.
And then it took them one day. I was going to give them the money, but that they didn't have it set up right. And the Mallard Drake was torpedoing the decoy out of the water.
I said,
that's a scarecrow.
It looked like a shark with a sea on his mouth.
Yeah.
He was trying to go skyward, but he had a big piece of styrofoam. Duck saw that and said, no.
No.
Well, see, Godwin,
that didn't seem natural.
Godwin said, I got it working. You know, where, when you going?
Where's the money?
He wouldn't say, you know. I said, well, I'm going to go see how it works. And so when it looked like a shark jumping out of the water, I said, nope, you came close, but no prize. Well, today, they said they had it.
They went back to the engineering.
Of course, it gets daylight. They turned it on. Well, guess what? Wouldn't work.
Oh, boy.
I said, well, you come close again, but you're getting closer. So they took a saw, got out there at about 30 minutes after daylight, and he got it working.
A saw?
Well, I think some of their
contraption.
Their geometric plan was a little off, and part of their contraption was
So this was sounds like quite the feat of redneck engineering.
Oh,
here.
It is. Right. If you could have had a Duck Dynasty episode on this, I mean, this is an invention. Yep. And the reason I'm not going to go into the details, because if they ever figure out how to sell it, everybody in the world would buy it. But I don't know how you'd sell it, because it would cost $1,000 for the labor and parts. I feel like I got a deal.
For the $500.
Look, they got bags to put this thing together. Huge bags.
All I want to know is, have you paid them yet?
I will pay them as soon as this is over. They went checking their deer cameras, but they're going to pull up, and I'm going to give them $500.
So I guess they're going to split it amongst themselves.
Oh, yeah,
but then I'm going to tell them, I'll give you another $500 if you got enough. I want two of them.
Because you got to have a backup.
When this one breaks.
Smart.
So really, we killed 30 today, which was one of the better hunts that we've had in years.
Yes. I don't think there was a 30-day last year, was it?
One.
Wow.
One day.
Is on day three, so that's
and
a pretty
you know
good
what?
Sign.
I have to admit, now I'm completely exhausted, but we were talking about that before we started here. Phil's like, hey, wait till you get to 74. I said, well, the problem is y'all are 74, and I'm having to do all the work. So I'm out of shape, which was obvious today.
The younger bucks are getting, now they're in their 50s.
That's right.
So everything is slowing down.
Stone is the youngest.
We didn't
46.
Have the dogs. Hey.
My long-lost daughter, every time I look around now, she's sitting in the blind.
She loves it. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because she...
So the bloodline, the genetics there.
She's right in there early. Of course, the first day, I don't know how she did today, but the first day I was sitting next to her. Yeah. So she was just, she couldn't get the, she, you know, duck hunting is about anticipation. Well, and she couldn't ever get...
Well, she's worried about being safe, which is good.
It's good.
But day three, today she shot half a box of shells. Yeah. So she's fitting right in with Si and the rest of them now. Of course, we had to get some... She was looking at the target and pulling the trigger because she was shooting high.
Yeah.
You know, when the duck's on the water, right. You can tell where you shoot.
Oh, so y'all lit some for her today.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, of course, but as the day went on, she kept getting closer and closer, and finally at about 9 o'clock,
like shoot the cripples,
right?
Yeah, you know, anything,
which is great because that's how you learn how to do it.
Yeah, but so she was scared, and then she, you know,
well, and nervous because we're like, here you go,
what to do, yeah.
And here's all these bearded, you know, duck hunters.
That's a first in the duck men's history. That means we're mellowing quickly.
Well, now it's. I thought about that the other day. The caption would be the duck men. In parentheses, and woman of Louisiana. Because,
yeah,
I mean, now...
That's
why
I said opening day was a social event, because I thought, I'm not... They were, you know, now here's what you do. And, you know, when they start all that, it's hard for me to keep my edge about me.
Well, it was good, because first I was giving Phyllis pointers about stuff. It's because I didn't... You know, you don't think about it. We've been doing it our whole lives, and so... You anticipate what ducks are going to do, what each other are going to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so much of it is unsaid communication in a duck blind.
I mean, as hard as I get on everybody when we, you know, we're getting old and we're not performing as well. Today, I saw some signs.
Some flashes?
Of past grandeur. We had a bunch of 7 ducks come in there, and we shot them all.
Wow.
Very quickly.
That's hard to do.
Of course, as soon as it's over, Si said, boys, I got 3. No, what did he say? He said, I'll kill one. Then my second shot, I killed 3 in one shot.
So basically, he's saying he killed the whole bunch.
Then I, as
old
happy
Jay's
as I was.
He was the one that's doing good.
That's right.
As happy as I was that we got him, then I thought, yep, and then there's that. He's got a 20 gauge that won't shoot over about 10 yards,
that's
you know.
Right.
And he peeled out 3 that were about 5 yards apart somehow.
So what Si thinks when he's shooting and he's seeing ducks are falling, that he's getting everything.
That's right.
Like,
that's it.
His mindset, like, he sees them falling. Right.
He's picturing in the military throwing a carpet bomb out there and everything falling. So he shoots. He sees it all fall. And he says, yeah, boy, I tell
He's
you.
Never thinking that there are three men on either side of him, and they're all shooting at the same time. But in his mind, he's like, boys, look what I just did.
Oh, that's the maddest.
I killed them all.
That's the maddest he got at me last year because he kept claiming ducks. And I said, oh, you've got it figured out. If you get up beside me and shoot right with me, you're going to kill all kinds of duck, more than you ever imagined.
Well, he switched ends. He used to hunt next to Dad. And now he's moved down there next to his
He is, but he's a lot more mellow. You know, me and him had a knockdown drag out last year. And
that ran across about 3 days, didn't it?
I forgot what it was even about, which is odd.
Well, it ain't the first time.
What was that about?
I can't remember, but I remember Stone coming home and telling me all about it.
But it's a lot of banter going on. But, you know, one time we pulled the 25% trick. A mallard drake lit it about 85, 90 yards. Way over there. He sat there for a while. Jay said, old Mallard Drake's just sitting there. I said, okay, here we go. I said, Phyllis, you've never seen this happen before, but this is a trick. We're going to trick that duck. We're going to get that duck. She said, but he's way over there. I said, he's going to come right to here. She said, we aren't going to call him. I said, no, we ain't going to call him. I said, we're going to put an echo in behind him. I said, it don't work but 25% of the time.
Yep, the echo.
I said, but it's worth it. Worth one shell. I said, y'all ready? I got ready. I said, all right, get ready. Here we go. I aimed over him.
All right.
About 20 yards. Boom. So the shot echoed in behind him. He jumped up, and here he comes. He thought there's somebody on the other side.
Right, right.
So but he started leaning away.
Leaning away, but he that wind, he just turned, and he got into the mouth of the tiger. Boom, 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 bow. Down he comes. She said, that was awesome. She said, I wouldn't have thought he would come this way if you shot at him. I said, I'm not shooting at him. I'm right. shooting over him where the echo behind him, and yep. he thinks somebody over there. And here you go.
But I said, you got to hunt a long time to try stuff
I said,
like that.
The problem is that doesn't work, but 25% right. of the
We've
time.
Seen bunches do it, like a whole
oh,
bunch
yeah.
come over.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's a... Well, that's kind of, in a way, I think it's kind of been fun with Phyllis joining the ranks because
yeah.
it's a, we're kind of teaching your skills to, you know, and like you said, you and I looked at each other when she was putting her face paint on Saturday. It was like, she wants to be here. She's like, let's do it again tomorrow.
I informed her when I said, let me see some of that stuff. I said, I informed her that I said, this is as close as we ever come to Maybelline.
That's right. Put our makeup
on. You know, women, they're particular about that Maybelline.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're trying to get it perfect.
That's right. This is ours, the smudge face, which y'all are looking really good today with that. It just adds to between that and the tired eyes, you just look like you just
had to remember.
We literally
you have
came
to,
out of the block.
You have to remember to wash it off before you take a nap after one of these big time duck hunts, because if you don't, your pillow will be black.
Oh yeah.
Well, yesterday I put a white face mask on because I went in the store because I was trying to find some motion. I didn't think this $500 was going to work. And then when I got back to the truck, when I took it off, I was like, well, that's all of that.
It's all on your mask?
Yeah. So I guess women have the same.
No, they do. So in my truck, you know, now you got all your mask in your car with you because to go in the store. And I'll pick one up to put it on, and it'll just be solid makeup.
Oh,
and then I know that's Lisa's mask. I was like, man, that just seems nasty to me.
What, you reckon a microbe could hang on a makeup?
Is the whole thing about this stupid mask. Well,
I haven't gotten around to wearing a mask yet. But
but you don't go anywhere either.
So I haven't been in a store in 5 years.
Yeah,
so.
You're good.
Yeah, I think you're
When's
okay.
the last time you've been to a restaurant?
Years. Years and years.
You're good.
We used to go some. We'd go to New York and stuff back in the day with Dad. Yeah. We'd go some, but it's been a while.
True.
Let's take a break. So the Sunday is the first time I've had an ache or a pain in a long time. My back was hurting.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, uh-oh. You know, since I've been taking the Omega XL, no aches and pains. But then it hit me. I realized what happened. On Saturday, we sat in that duck blind. I was on that bucket. the whole time.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, my back.
And you shot a box of shells.
And I shot a box of shells. And two or three times I got too low on this, you know how you get low on your arm? And I was just like a rookie, you know? So, I mean, I was like, for the first time, I was like, and yeah. I thought, well, has my Omega quit working? No, today I feel great. So it was just, it was that back. But that's what happens. You don't realize you crawl up in one of these duck lines and put yourself in a rough position, sit there for 6 hours.
Just have somebody come up with a bat and hit your shoulder 25 times.
That's right.
Yeah, you probably won't feel
that's
good.
That's all right. So I am glad, Dad, that you and I have been taking the Omega XL because it basically attacks inflammation, and inflammation is what causes the problem. You get the painful, stiff joints and all these type of things. So it's been really good for us. I have a lot of people that are telling me they're taking it, which is great. If you hadn't tried it, go to Omega XL, and you get if you buy the first bottle, you get the second bottle free. OmegaXL.com. That's OmegaXL.com/Phil, or you can call them 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888.
If you could get the American public to roll like I roll, I mean, according to the experts, it wouldn't be any coronavirus.
Yeah, the problem is it eventually gets around because you still have interaction with us. We got our crew that films us. It's, you know, it's really hard to just like never be around anybody for your whole life. And there's been some people that tried it. I mean, and I feel bad for them. I think about all the ones that, you know, we still got people. We've been now, what's this been since May? I mean, no, March. They haven't been able to come and meet with us. Older people, you know, they're afraid to get out. I mean, they're just in their homes locked down for 10 months. That's pretty sad.
I think the whole reasoning behind God creating the woman was he made that line that said it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
Also, he said, and I just respectfully said no. Greet each other with a holy kiss.
I'm like, that's true. I've used that before.
You know, coronavirus.
Hey, I'm but you know what, Dad? You know,
I haven't been. I never was lovey-dovey, you know. But when the coronavirus comes, I do make it a kind of a.
You know what's weird about that? So I went to Romania in 1991 on a mission. First time I'd ever left the country. And so we're meeting these brothers there. The country had just come out of communism, you know, and they had the dictator Ceausescu, you know, they overthrew him. And so all of a sudden the gospel's coming in. Well, we were going in with it. And so, but the thing about it was they didn't know about community because when you live under those totalitarian regimes, they don't want people getting together. So all
that's why the powers that be at the time, the Marxist crowd.
Right.
That's why they're already tilling that soil.
That's exactly right.
To get you used to being basically
told
under lockdown all the time.
Exactly. So community, they wouldn't look anybody in the eye. So we come in, we were, you know, big on small groups.
No singing, no praying. That spreads the coronavirus.
Exactly.
You rob, loot, shoot, run in the street. No, nothing, no spread there. But if you're going to sing hymns that's about God Almighty, no.
So we're meeting these new Christians. And what was funny is their culture, these are Armenians and Romanians. So their culture, when they greet somebody, is with a kiss on each cheek.
Each cheek.
And so we come into their culture, and the first time, you know, this young brother comes up and he kisses me on both cheeks. I mean, you fear it was a beard stubble, you know, and I'd never felt beard stubble, you know.
They tried that with me, but I went the. I learned the head bob. And so, because some cultures, you know, they'll just. They'll go to do it, but it's an error. So I perfected that because I was like, no.
Well, I did it. And then, and what was weird, we were there 3 weeks. By the end of the 3 weeks, it felt like a handshake with these people.
No, it always felt awkward to me.
But I've never done it since.
I have germophobic
tendencies. That's pretty well, that particular maneuver is pretty well died out, isn't it?
Well, it has here. I don't know if they still do it over there or not. But, you know, you're talking about community, Jace. So there was the guy responded yesterday at our church. I was just thinking about it. And he's a good friend of ours we know well. And he's having issues with his daughter and the internet and all this stuff. But, you know, he's a pretty stoic person. But yesterday this thing had been weighing on him so much that he needed people to surround him and pray for him, for he and his family. Mm-hmm. And I just thought about that need for community, you know, that we talk about. Because in that case yesterday, like he needed that, you know. And I saw the people that surrounded him and were hugging him and saying, you know, it's going to be okay. And he's not the kind of guy would ever ask for help, but I mean, he felt at the end of his rope.
Or shed tears. But yeah. I mean, what's happening is everybody's cooped up for the most part. I mean, even, you know, even us, we're spending more time at our homes and for various, because you can't, there's very few events that even function anymore.
Well, you can't go to the movie. No, you can't, I mean, you can't do anything.
We don't go to restaurants anyway. But these kids, especially young, 16 and younger, well, you know, it's quiet in their room and they have a cell phone. And it goes on for days and weeks and months. Well, some of them, because they're immature, just like we were when we were 14, they just go down a black hole of darkness. And they get manipulated from predators, pedophiles, wayward teenagers who are older than they are, and they're using them. And that's what happens. That's why I say if you have a kid that's that age and you're not checking on their phone, or I mean, if they have a phone, they either have been in it or they're in it now. Because it's especially when you get to some of these social media sites.
Well, with Snapchat, TikTok.
Yeah. They,
and these things are being developed basically to hide
what's
going on there. Precisely. It's in the development.
Well, Snapchat originally.
It's the evil one.
Right. I agree.
Snapchat was originally designed for, you know, married couples cheating on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell us about that.
So it's a secret society. You know, once I got down, you know, which what I did with my daughter, who had just, you know, I caught her at the right time. I had just gotten, I mean, she had just gotten involved. And once I got it imposed as her, it was a lot easier to find out what's going on there. As long as they thought I was a teenager, well, I started looking at their pages. And that's where I saw these predators. And here's these men who are coming to these young girls and, you know, saying what they want to hear, and
right.
You know, show me yours, I'll show you mine, type of deal, and they're doing it.
Yep.
I'm like, what these kids don't realize, because immaturity, is they're drawing attention that you don't want. These people go to prison.
Yeah,
you know, they will rape you or perhaps kill you, or you know, sell you a bunch of drugs and you get hooked on that. But
glad it was pre-cell phone when y'all were raised. I didn't have to deal with all that.
Yeah. Well, Jace is right. It was still, look, I was terrible at the same age, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, but it was a little bit more difficult to get into the mischief. The way it is now, it's there even younger, and like Jay said, it's like
24/7,
and you don't have any. They don't understand the ramifications. If you put nude, you know, pictures and videos of yourself out there, somebody has those, and it'll always be out there. You know, for somebody
try getting a job when you're 25, and they Google you, and here comes a bunch of nude pictures when you were 14 and 15. I mean,
and people are wondering why. I just heard about it, and I said, they say your cell phone. You got your cell phone number. I said no. I don't fool with a cell phone. I just don't do it.
Well, I think it's a, Jace is right. It's a,
that might be a little overkill, but I've decided to go down that
it's
road.
It's an epidemic inside a pandemic because I think you're right. I think what happens is now a kid, they're doing their school on the computer. So parents are getting so used to just them being connected to a device that they're not really even realizing what they're up to in some cases. And some of it has been good. They have been able to go to school.
We're living with proof computer, that you can put good material on the cell phone.
Well, that's thought about it when what we were going
to
talk about.
Which is why I wanted to mention that, because I wanted you to, we talk about this from time to time. We have a lot of people with teenage kids in the audience, and I want them to know you have to be vigilant.
Well, it's so frustrating to me because I talk to kids and parents a lot about this just because we kind of went through it. But a lot of these parents are just so naive, and they think they're smarter than their kid because they are about everything else.
Right.
But you're not in technology.
That's right.
So they'll take away their phone, you know, and leave them their iPad. Well, guess what happened? Nothing.
That's right. I mean, same story.
You have to clean out any kind of mechanical device out of the house and make a clean break, whether it's from the friends or you know, talk to the parents or, you know, I mean, like with me, I attacked.
Right.
So everybody that she was talking to, I called them up, said, we're going to have a conversation here. And most of them, the parents were open to have a discussion because they saw, you know, once I had took all these screenshots of what I saw, well, that got their attention. Because if you ask your kid or try to check their phone, you're never going to find out that way.
Right.
Number one, they're going to lie to you because they don't want to disappoint you.
Right.
Number two, they have it designed where you're not going to see that, even though you think you are. You think, oh, well, I looked, and it's not happened.
Right.
So I'd had that. I had a conversation with the fellow you were talking about weeks before, and I told him that advice, but he didn't do that.
Right.
Because he just, if you don't understand something, it's hard to know what to do. I was like, you have to get anything that's transmitting out of the house.
Right.
Because they're just going to keep doing
it. Other people's devices, other people's phones.
It's almost one of these two-way streets. I'm thankful that enough people have cell phones to be listening to us right now.
Correct.
But I'm just saying.
We're talking about young people.
When you talk young people, not mature enough.
Well, it's like anything else. Let's take another break. So we talk on here a lot about, you know, starting a small business that kind of grew into a medium-sized business. We never got really huge. I think at the heyday of our business, we had maybe, it was crazy during the show and all that, maybe 100 people that worked for Duck Commander. I mean, which is
pretty big.
That's a pretty good sized company. It's certainly something we couldn't have ever imagined just starting in the living room. But one of the things, of course, that Willie had to do when we got bigger was he had to get human resources help. And so for small business, you know, when you can't really afford to have a guy, you got to have some way to be able to deal with all your human resources problems. So there's a great company, Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E, that basically gives you an online dedicated HR manager. So you can phone, email, real-time chat, whatever you need. It's $99 a month. It's month-to-month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. So if you go to Bambee, Bambee.com/Robertson, you get a free HR audit. That's Bambee, Bambee.com/Robertson. It's like anything else. You wouldn't give a kid a gun without training them how to use gun. And I mean, so what I'm saying is when it comes to maturity, sometimes they can't handle that. And I think you're right. I mean, really and truly, till a kid gets a certain age, they probably just need a flip phone, mom style, where they, you know, you like them being able to know where they are and call them and all that, but you need just be able to, the internet is the issue with them.
People say that, and I've said before, they're wherever you tell them to be. You know, my daughter went 2 years without a phone. And look, what I like now is she laughs about it. When we talk about it, she's like, you learn how to play the piano. You know, you play board games. When there's nothing, I mean, nothing. The first time, a couple of weeks. The second time, 2 years.
Yeah.
Because evidently you're not mature enough to handle this. So, and you know what? After a while, she embraced it. And I guarantee you, if you asked her, she's probably thankful.
Right.
That's why it's an immaturity issue. I know they just get into a web and get tangled, and they can't get out, and it becomes their identity. It's almost like being on drugs.
Yeah.
It's
very addictive.
The excitement of it all, and it doesn't seem real, and they're putting their best foot forward. Yeah. You know, they're being a version of themselves that is not them, but it's bigger than them and tougher and cooler, and they're using words that they wouldn't normally use. And they get hooked up with the wrong bunch, and the next thing you know, you know, somebody's calling the police. You say, what happened here?
Right.
Because they don't realize the people that they're having conversations with are really bad people.
That's right.
Yep.
Taking advantage of America's youth.
Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith, I would say part of the resistance would be monitor your child and the computers.
Yep.
Well, what
monitor
was the quote,
that
Al,
carefully.
Right. What was the quote that Jesus said, you know, that we're going to talk about when he was arrested? He said about darkness.
Yeah, it was Luke 22:53. you know, when this, and we're in John 18, if you guys are following along with us. So when the crowd shows up, it says they had torches and swords. And look, this is like over 100 people. It's a big crowd of people that come to get Jesus. And, of course, Judas is there, and he was the kind of, you know, the betrayer in the moment. This is the one. But Jesus looks at them, and they're all got their, you know, like they're going after Frankenstein on a movie or something. All of a sudden, you know, we're going to go get him. You know, we're ready. And he looks at him. He's really interesting. He says in Luke 22, he says, every day I was with you in the temple courts, you didn't lay a hand on me. I mean, I'm the same guy is what he was telling him. And then he said this, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. And just the way he framed that, to me, that's one of the most chilling statements in the Bible.
But I just thought about that, because what happened here? You had lies, deceit, betrayal. You had the innocent, which was Jesus, being taken advantage of, mm-hmm. over, what, 30 pieces of silver, and fear,
yep.
of what he represented.
What people forget is it was predicted precisely that, including the role Judas played. All right. Hundreds and hundreds of years right. before it ever went down.
Right. Which is
it
why,
wasn't like Jesus walked into a trap.
No.
It was. That's why he came.
Well, right. Which is why later during the questioning and all the interrogation, he's like, you wouldn't, you know, because Pilate's like, I've got the power to kill you or let you go. And he was like, you have no power other than what's been given to you. But, you know, one of the things that struck me about that, Jace, was later in chapter 18, the high priest is questioning him. And so this is the first time they're kind of interrogating him. And he says the same thing he said to the crowd. He said, in essence, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. In other words, I haven't had some secret rebellion going on. I've been very open and public about mm-hmm. what we're talking about.
Yeah, he Phil said, and I talked about that one day.
He said, why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. In other words, mm-hmm. he said, why are you asking me? I've been teaching for 3 years. But here's what offended me so deeply in this text. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. And he says, is this the way you answer the high priest? And then Jesus said, if I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? But you know what got me about that? Two things. One is that when people can't win an argument of ideas, because remember, they were trying to stump him the whole time, and they never could best him. They always resort to violence. It's a smack in the mouth. And I think about what's going on today. You can't win the idea of argument, right? I mean, we're trying to push Marxism. We know it's not right. They know it's not right. They have no answer for it. So what do? Violence.
Yep.
You start striking people in the mouth. And so that was the first thing that got me. The second thing was I thought about this guy's the former high priest and all these officials. God set it up, and Jesus was there. We established that from the beginning, that they would. Their job was to offer all these sacrifices to God. So the same people that were in charge of sacrificing things to God, now he's standing here in flesh, and what do? They slap him in the mouth.
Yep.
I mean, I just thought about it from Jesus' perspective, how offensive that would be.
Everyone
you know?
Needs to understand Matthew 16:21. Listen to this. After Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, you've answered correctly. He said, up on that rock, me being who I say I am, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not overcome it. And I'm going to give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So Peter's good to go and eventually preaches Jesus, him crucified and raised from the dead. But at the time, from that time on, after Peter said, you're the one, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, including being slapped in the face. He already knew that. Yep. He knew what was coming. And that he must be killed. They're like, what? His disciples are sitting there listening to him. Jesus began to explain to his disciples, he must go to Jerusalem, get mistreated, die, and on the third day be raised alive. Peter took him aside. He said, listen, that's not going to happen to you. I mean, we're not going to let that out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why Peter pulled out his sword, when right. they all came up there with the torches and all that. You know, he was going to fight them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why don't we run and hide, go to a safer place? That's one in Matthew. I turn one page, 2018. What? You say, did that cover it? Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and he said to them, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he'll be raised to life. And he's just telling them what's fixing to happen. My point is, it's not like you say, it's not like he didn't know. No, that's Matthew recorded that. I'll just give you a couple of them just to show you. Here's Mark 8. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They'll kill him. After 3 days, he'll rise. That's what Mark recorded.
Hang on. Look. Let's take a break while you look at that next one.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
Few days goes by. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, Jesus leading the way. The disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside. He'd taken them aside over and over and over, told them what was going to happen. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he'll rise. And they're sitting there saying, they're looking at each other saying, what? They didn't get it, Al. Mm. All the way to the time, the authorities, they didn't realize it is written ahead of time.
Right.
This is what's fixing to happen.
Yep.
Jesus read the minds of the whole bunch, and he picked out his time frame, not theirs. He picked it. And it came to fruition. You got Luke recording this, Luke 18:31. I'm just looking at the text that says Jesus knew what was going to happen. It wasn't like an ambush, Al. Like, we got him now. You see what I'm saying?
They well, thought it was, but he
knew,
didn't.
Yeah, he knew that they would just.
Do you remember how many times it said in John?
Here's
and
Luke.
They didn't understand this until after his resurrection.
So. I gave you Matthew. I gave you Mark. Here's Luke. We're going up to Jerusalem. Jesus took the 12 aside. And everything that is written by the prophets, the whole Genesis to Malachi, Jesus is coming. Jace, that's your favorite line. Well, these guys are here, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is here. What's he saying? He's saying it is written in the prophets about the Son of Man himself will be fulfilled. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him on the third day. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, Al.
Yep.
And they did not know what he was talking about. They thought, he's going to do what? He said he's going to die.
Yeah.
In 3 days, he's going to be back again. We got to wait till that day. I don't know what we're going to.
Seemed like that.
It's kind of like Al, if somebody came to you and said, hey, Al, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to go up to New York, and they're going to kill me, you know. But 3 days, I'll be back. I'll be raised from the dead. You're like, yeah.
Cue the Twilight Zone.
So finally, you finally get over there, and you say, we're in John 12:32, and we covered that a couple 3 weeks ago. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world, who's leading everybody astray with that blooming cell phone, now the prince of this world will be driven out. He's going to somehow conquer Satan through all of this.
Yep.
But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Here's my only point. I gave you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a little update. When Jesus was died on the cross, all that was planned out in advance.
Sure.
And it's a wonderful thing that it was, but even the disciples who were with him at the time did not get it. And I will add, most people on this earth, Al, they still don't get it.
That's right.
They don't get it.
They miss it.
Jefferson even wouldn't go down that road.
To that point, in John 18, I wanted to get y'all's take on this. So in verse 4, Jesus, knowing all this was going to happen to him, which was to your point, went out and asked. So they all show up with the lanterns. Who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he.
Yep.
Which we missed that. That's another I am, Jason.
It wasn't like, you got the wrong man here. Yeah.
And Judas the traitor was standing there with him. And went, listen to this. This is what I want to get your take on. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground.
I don't know what that means.
I want to know what you think that. I think I know. I got a theory.
Well, what I noticed.
Because that's super weird.
What I noticed is if you look in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time something humbling happened to Jesus, there was also something amazing. Now, you can go look up all the things I'm talking about, but like when he was baptized, what happened? You know, heaven opened, and
here comes a
you know
dove.
He was asleep on the boat. You know what happened? You know the storm, and then he did this awesome thing. So, and it's not just those two. I mean, I remember making a list one time, and I had about 20 times where whenever he humbled himself and did something, there was also it's almost like there had to be a reminder of who. Of this powerful being humbling himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I thought. Because here it doesn't really make sense why that happened.
Because they're there to round him up. But
there was something kind of like the transfiguration happened here.
Right.
Where it's just like they all fall back. But I don't think they knew they fell back.
Maybe not.
They're like, what just happened here?
Well, I did.
Not only did he predict his betrayal, he was reclining. They were having the Last Supper, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. So a lot of people say, well, you know, Jesus got rope-a-doped. One of his own guys rope-a-doped him, and, why didn't he do something about that? Leaning back against Jesus, Peter asked, Lord, who is it? Or John, who is it? Jesus answered, it's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in this dish.
Yeah.
They're like, what? He says, The one that's going to betray me, I'm gonna give him a piece of bread. The one I gave this bread, he's a man. Watch. He dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. Jesus' words, what you're about to do, Judas, do it quickly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like at any time did he get in a bind and not know it?
That's right.
No.
Well, I mean, he knew, but he still had to.
Well, and I found something.
Endure.
Let's take one last break. I find that fascinating too, Dad, because that tells me that Satan's fingerprints were all over the whole plot.
That is correct.
He had been, you remember, he had been nibbling on Judas all along, but now Judas finally in his mind just says, I'm in. I'm all in.
The father of murder thought he had it all figured out.
Which is really interesting to me because Satan's whole thing, we know from the garden forward, is built on the law of sin and death, right? A person sins, they realize then they're going to die. They die spiritually, they're going to die physically. And Satan, that's where he does his work. I mean, his first thing was temptation, and he even tried it on Jesus. So it's interesting to me because that means Satan knew that Jesus had never sinned.
Well, he knew that.
I know.
Yeah.
But now he didn't know the whole plan.
Yeah.
Or we found out later because he wouldn't have killed
him. Well,
her.
He but saw it firsthand when the temptation.
That's
in,
right.
In the
which I went to that yesterday in my sermon. Yeah. You know, that shows you that from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Satan was plotting to kill him.
Yep.
And the reason why is because every other man or woman had sinned. But this was the first guy that never sinned. But he thought, if I kill him, then I control everything.
Well, he always used, when you think about it, what's he do to the innocent? He tries to mess them up, you know, have some sort of immorality.
Yep.
Or kill them.
Yep.
That's what he's been doing since the beginning.
That's right.
That's why in Hebrews 2, you know, we look at it from hindsight, 20/20. When Jesus died, you know, the evil one didn't know that pretty well sealed his fate because he died for the very two things I just talked about, getting you dirty and getting you dead.
That's right.
So that's why we talked about the cell phone. You said, what's that got to do with? I know Jesus knew that because I was reading this a while ago while y'all were talking. Jesus made an analogy. He said, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. Now, why would he say that? Because Jesus and little children have two things in common. Or, I mean,
innocent.
They have one thing in common. They're innocent.
Yep.
And so he was fully aware of his innocence. Of course, then he goes on to say, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large stone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea, which is one of the most graphic images you could think of. But I like that our Lord and our Creator feels that strongly about protecting the innocent.
That's right.
Don't do that. But then he also, which I think people like, I've had these conversations with these parents, and they're like, well, you know, where's your cell phone verse? I mean, they don't say it like that, but that's what they're insinuating.
Well, they're saying the Bible doesn't address.
Yeah, well, I'm fixing to read it. Here's your cell phone verse. This is right after the talk about Jesus is innocent. Same kind of thing we're talking about. What's the evil one trying to do? Attack him, dirty him up. That didn't work. So guess what's the next step? Kill him. He says, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Now, whatever thing it is, you can insert it in there, but I'll insert a cell phone. Such things must come. Because there are things on the planet that are used as vehicles to a sinful life. Several of them.
Yep.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be bad in the moment, but they...
And they invent ways of doing evil.
That's right.
But then it says, but woe to the man through whom they come, which is my whole point. There's predators who prey on younger minds who are trying to get at them through the use of social media or, you know, whatever, and they hook them in. And I know that's part of an evil work because I just look at the people involved here. Whenever you start attacking the innocent, it's like me, no matter what I'm struggling with, when there's some 13 or 14-year-old that's vulnerable or looking at me as far as any kind of impression, oh, I'm going to do everything I can to give them a good impression. The exact opposite happens on a lot of these sites and these pornography and, you know, some old guy saying, you know, an older guy asking for a young girl to, you know, share a nude picture of herself.
Right.
Well, that guy needs to be locked up. This girl, she needs to wait 2 or 3 years before she gets on a cell phone.
How stupid
are you?
Yeah.
How naive and immature that you would actually do it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Jace, you said locked up. A lot of the ones who would lock him up
are the ones doing it.
Yeah.
So
you
say, widespread.
So
that's
you
a good
keep
point.
Waiting on somebody. But I've looked around, Jace. I can find no one but Jesus. I mean, he's the only one you can trust in. So
that's why
trying to, you know, well, the law will do what's right. They'll catch him. But it's like a revolving door. Look, if you can rob, loot, and shoot, now we got a little sexual immorality on the side over here. It's just not number one on their list to do something about it.
That's true. There's a lot of people in
power. You remember those seven things the Lord hates, or I think that's in Proverbs or Psalms.
Proverbs 16.
But one of them is, you know, hands that shed innocent blood.
Yep.
Which is, I think, profound when we're talking about this attack on our young people. And then you see Satan's attack on Jesus. I mean, it makes me mad.
Yeah, me too.
On how this went down, even though we talk about God knew it because out of love, and Jesus knew it.
Yeah.
And he says this, I am he, and everybody falls back. I do think there's something to him being so humble that it unleashed his power. Yeah. Another one that popped in my head is, you know, when he wept at Lazarus's tomb, you see him, I think, I mean, that's how much humble can you get?
Yeah.
Well, what happened next? He raised a man from the dead. Right. I mean, something spectacular happened. So,
and he wept in the moment knowing he was about to raise him from the dead.
That's which right. I find
right under the one you mentioned, Jace, hands that shed innocent blood, Proverbs 6:16. God hates a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil.
Where's that at?
That's Proverbs 6:16 and following.
Yeah, Proverbs 6.
Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. I'll give my opinion on the thing we started a minute ago. I never did get that in.
And why they fell back.
Right. So I looked up the Greek word there for that. Sometimes you get a little insight when something seems strange like that. Egoemi is the Greek word, and it's the same word that was used when he said, before Abraham was born, I am. That's that I am he is that same phrase, Greek phrase used there. So I think you hit it. The idea that when he described himself, it was so powerful in the moment, even though they had come to grab him, they had to go down on the knees. I mean, because it was that same phrase, before Abraham was born, I am. When he said, who are you looking for? Jesus, and I am, meaning I am all. And I think it overwhelmed them, you know?
Like a time.
Because then they got back up, you know? He said.
Well, but that's why, in my mind, I think they probably didn't know it. It's like when the time when he spoke, but it said it sounded like thunder when God spoke.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, that was for y'all's benefit, obviously. Because him and the Father are one.
Right.
But he's like throwing that out like we all get the idea. No, I don't get the idea at all. Why did it sound like thunder when God actually talked? I don't know what that means. but he does, and I think in this case the same
kind
of thing.
Well, if you're outside time and space and you spoke and it sounded like thunder, I mean, you know.
He declared, I am.
It would have gotten my attention.
Yeah.
That's why when he said, the Hebrew writer said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which goes along with this I am theme. When he said that, the power of the moment. And I do think there's texts like when he looked, when the story about in the battle and he opened his eyes where he could see all the chariots of fire and all the angels over the hills and kings. I think you have to realize all that's going on. This was worlds colliding, really.
Yeah.
God's world and the evil world.
Well, we see the word invisible a lot, especially in the New Testament, talking about evil and good. So there's the forces out there.
I think there was a few moments of time where it stood still, and this was one of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, good stuff. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.